hope that you'll really focus this morning. And again, I want to give you a thought from the scriptures. Matthew chapter number 3 is where we're at. You know, we're going to look at John the Baptist and Jesus this morning. John the Baptist, of course, is the one that baptized the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to look at the chapter. It's only 17 verses. We're going to look at these 17 verses together. I have one thought that comes farther down in the chapter, but we're going to look at that this morning. You know, the one thing about John the Baptist before I pray, and that's this. In John chapter 1, the Bible says in verse number 6, it says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light," capital L, witness of that light, "that all men through him might believe." Talking about all men through Jesus Christ might believe. "He was not that light," John was not, "but was sent to bear witness of that light." Church, I mean, John the Baptist had a unique ministry, and that ministry was to be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, to point. I've often said it this way. John the Baptist prepared the material for Jesus to start his church. All right. You think about it. Andrew was John the Baptist's disciple before he ever became Jesus' disciple. 6 months before Christ was born, John the Baptist shows up on the scene and he's pointing people to Jesus before Jesus even shows up for his earthly ministry. And so Jesus said, you'll notice in the very next chapter that Jesus turns 30 years of age. At the end of chapter number 3 is when he was baptized. And then, of course, Christ's earthly ministry is about to take off. Just, I want to talk to you a little bit. And before I tell you what I'm going to preach on, let's pray, okay? Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Heavenly Father, thank you again for letting us be in church this morning. I ask for your help this morning. God, you can give liberty, direction, power. Father, clarity of thought as far as what needs to be said. Help the church family this morning. Lord, help their mind, Lord, to be on, feed me, teach me, help me. And then, Lord, again, help us, Lord, that we might be able to help others. Forgive us now from our sins. Draw us closer to you this morning. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and pick it up in verse number 1 because I want to walk through the first part of the chapter. It's not a long chapter and the message is really toward the end. But I want to just point some things out here. Matthew chapter 3. Is that where I told you to go? Matthew chapter 3. Look at verse number 1 with me. The Bible says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, church family, some people get confused on the word repent. The word repent means a change of mind. All right. For church family, when we witness to somebody, we don't tell them to change their life to get saved. We tell them to change their belief to get saved. Right. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. What caused the person to be saved is a change of mind. Before, my thought was I get saved because I go to church, or I get saved because I live a good life, or I get saved because I treat others like I want to be treated. But then they figure out it's not what I do, it's what Jesus did on the cross for me. Alrighty? So it's a change of mind. So when he says repent means a change of mind. In other words, I don't believe what I thought it took to get to heaven. I know now what it takes to get to heaven. And it's simply faith in Jesus Christ because he died on the cross for my sin. If you're saved this morning, you ought to be happy about that, by the way. All right. All right. Look at the next thing here. Of course, he says repent. Look at the next thing. Verse 3. "For this is he," John was the person. "For this is he," John. "This is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness." And what did he cry? "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight." Now, that's Isaiah 40, verse number 3. Isaiah 40, verse number 3 said that there would be somebody coming that would say, "Prepare you the way of the Lord." The way of the Lord was Jesus Christ. 6 months before Jesus was born, John the Baptist was born. John comes upon the scene. He comes from the wilderness. He says, "Hey, listen, there cometh one after me that you need to know about." All righty. And by the way, that's the Lord. Look at the next thing. Verse number 4. "And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey." I am so thankful that's not a prerequisite to be a preacher. Locust and wild honey. I don't even think chocolate-covered locust would fit the bill, all right? I don't want to eat any type of locust whatsoever, all righty? Wild honey, that's a Hershey's candy bar, all right? Now, look at verse number 5. "Then went out to him," to John the Baptist, "Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." Hey, just in case I forget to say it later, I want to say it here. When these folks were baptized, the baptism of John was, again, repentance. It was an outward show that they had repented and changed their belief. They would confess their sins. I want you to notice Jesus had no sins to confess when he's baptized. All righty? And again, I just thought I'd point that out, that about these folks that was mentioned. Look at verse number 7 now. "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O great people you are." All right? Hey, don't you like John the Baptist? I mean, he had to be an independent Baptist because he was always offending somebody. "Oh, generation of vipers." Listen here, you snakes. What are you doing here? All righty. How you like that? Hey, by the way, I know that today, the day that we're living, it's less and less, okay? But can I just tell you, some of you are my age or older, you remember the old-time preachers that would just preach the Word, and they didn't care about what people thought, they cared more about what God thought, all right? Now, we're living in a society today that we want to make sure that we don't offend anybody, and that we're trying to be nice to everybody. And by the way, we are Christians, we're supposed to be like Christ. But can I tell you, when it comes to the truth, you can't change the truth to make people feel good, all right? So John the Baptist, he just points it right out. Listen here, you generation of vipers. And by the way, before you get too judgmental of John the Baptist, which I don't think you would because it's in the pages of Scripture. But before we get too judgmental of John the Baptist, you have to understand the Pharisees were not there to get baptized. The Pharisees were not there to confess their sins, and the Pharisees were not there to repent. They were there to judge. That what he was doing was not like what they were doing. All right. You say, how do you know that? I don't have time to turn to it, but Luke chapter number 7, I believe it is. Verse number 29 and 30 says the Pharisees went out to see him baptized, but none of them got baptized. So we understand that they were not there for the right reason. So he goes on to say to the Pharisees, you generation of vipers who warned you to flee from the wrath to come, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. All right. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able to, of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe, that's the judgment of God. The axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Trees is plural in the first trees. It's singular in the second. I think he's talking to the nation of Israel in verse 10. He's talking to the individual when he says the word tree. But verse number 10 says, and now also the axe, the judgment of God, is laid upon the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree, which, now in theory he's referring to the Pharisees, every individual, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. All right, now, church family, again, I'm trying to teach this because I want to preach a thought here in just a second. But he's not talking about works here. He's talking about salvation here. If you think about it, these folks were coming out to John to have a change of mind about the Messiah who was going to come. You've heard me say oftentimes that the Old Testament over here pointed to the cross here. And if this is the cross that we in the New Testament now are saved, we look back to the cross. How am I saved? Because Jesus died on the cross and paid the sin debt for me. How am I saved? Because of his death, his burial and resurrection was for me. Are you with me so far? Say amen. But what happened in the Old Testament before Jesus was born was that they looked for a Messiah to come. The same faith it took for the Messiah to come is the same faith that it takes for us to believe he has come. All right. Now, all that to say is when it talks about here, he talks about the fruit, their fruits. He's talking about the fruit of repentance. He's saying, listen, God knows if you repented or not. God knows if you believe or not. Look what he says next here in verse number 11. I, who's the I? Who is that? John the Baptist, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. All right. In other words, their outward show of being baptized was the inward of their repentance. It was showing outwardly that they were had a change of mind. They were repentive about their sin as well as about the Messiah. Look what he says next here. He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoe I am not worthy to bear. Who's he referring to? Jesus Christ. Verse 11. He shall baptize you with the what? Holy Ghost. All right. Holy Spirit. Now, church family, follow me now. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God came inside of you. That's not spooky. That's not like, oh, that's a wonderful thing. All right. When the Bible says that you are sealed unto the day of redemption, the sealing is the Holy Spirit of God that dwells inside of you. All right. So, again, when Jesus said, hey, when I go away, I will leave you a comforter that will not only be with you, he shall be in you. John chapter 14, I think verse number 16 and 17, if I remember correctly, but he said that the Holy Spirit will be in you. All right, now follow what happens next. Verse number 12. Whose fan, talking about Jesus here, God, whose fan is in his hand and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather, personal pronoun, his what? Wheat into the garner, that means the barn, but he will burn up the what? With what? All right, now listen, I'm not a farmer. You guys are so much smarter in this area, I'm sure, because I'm so much a city person, it's ridiculous, all righty? I don't want to live in the country, and there's so many of you country folk here. Thank God for you. You've got a whole lot better off. But I don't want to drive 25 miles to a Walmart, all right? Not that I'm going to anyway, but anyway, I don't want to do that. I want to be close to a gas station. I want to be close to where there's a fast food joint. I want to be close to things, okay? But so I'm not familiar with wheat. All right. Now, I'm going to be really honest with you. I watched the video. And everybody knows if you watch the video, you are the professional now. I am the professional wheat person. Just letting you know, because I watched the video. Now, it was very interesting, the video that I watched. They showed a person that had a pile full of wheat that was kind of in the stalks, if I can say it that way. I don't think they're called stalks, but the wheat was there. He had a threshing instrument. To me, it looked like a pole with like a leather strap that went out. This is what he had. And he began whipping that wheat. I've never seen that before, all right? I've never done this before, all right? Now, you guys that make everything homemade, you're going to laugh at me because I don't understand it all. But I did understand that when he was hitting that wheat, the kernels of wheat was coming out of it and was landing underneath it. And he just, I don't know how long he must have done it, but he knocked it all loose. Then what was interesting is that he took all those kernels and he put it into a kind of a pan. And when he dumped the pan, you could actually see the breeze going through. And there were particles, what the Bible calls chaff, there were particles that were going away while the kernels of wheat were staying in the bin that he had for it. But you remember, that's the picture of what he's saying here, that God has a fan, he has a wind, it's the Holy Spirit of God, and God knows which ones are his, and what's going to happen is one day he's going to separate the wheat from the chaff, the saved from the lost. The saved are going to be brought to his garner, which is his barn, actually means place, which is going to be taken home to heaven, and the chaff is going to go to an unquenchable fire. It means it's never going to end. I want to tell you, if you're not saved this morning, I'd want to be wheat, I sure wouldn't want to be chaff. All right? And those who are wheat is a picture of those that are believers. The chaff is a picture of those who are unbelievers. All right, now we're getting to the thought this morning. Look at verse number 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me. All right, now let's stop again. I'm almost there. Jesus comes to John to get baptized. And John says that no way forbade. Listen, I need to be baptized of thee. What was he trying to say? Well, the previous verse already told us what he's trying to say. John said, I baptize you with water for unto repentance. There cometh one after me who's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. So when John told Jesus, Jesus, I need baptized of the Holy Ghost, and only you can do that. All right. Are you all with me so far? Look what he says next. Verse number 15. This is our message this morning. This is the thought. If you want to underline, write, circle. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Now, church, I want to preach on that phrase this morning. Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Now, I'll explain. But here's what Jesus was saying, all right? Jesus was talking to John and says, hey, John, I'm here to get baptized. Now, church, there were people there. There were Pharisees there. There were Sadducees there. They're all watching this go on. And John says, whoa. I can't baptize you. John knew that he was the Son of God. He knew he was the forerunner. John, there was a man sent from God whose name was? Church, I mean, John knew what he was there for. John goes out in the wilderness, and however long that was that John was out there, and he just met with God, and he ate locusts and wild honey, and he shows up in the wilderness, and all these people come to him and say, hey, what are you here for? He says, I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness to tell you that there will come one after me who's a shoe latch, and I'm not even worthy to unloose. And he's not going to, I baptize you with water, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And here now Jesus shows up. And John says, hey, Jesus, I can't do this. I need you to baptize me. Now listen to what Jesus says very clearly. Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. You know what Jesus was saying? I need you. Us. You know what Jesus was saying? We cannot fulfill all righteousness. We cannot complete that which is right without the two of us working together. Amen. That's what Jesus said. Church, I'm going to read it again. You're looking at me. I don't know if you understand to me what he's saying here. And I'm going to explain, but look at verse 15 again. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Three things happened. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, number one. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, number two, lightning upon him. Verse 17. The third thing. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, just, I mean, think about this. Jesus, John the Baptist baptizes Jesus. The heavens are open up. They hear this voice. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. The Holy Spirit, likened unto a dove, comes and lands upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody is seeing what's going on. And this would not have happened if it wasn't thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Brother Stanley, help me out here for just a moment here if you don't mind. Brother Stanley, come over here. I want you to get on the other side of that Lord's table if you don't mind. Now, Sir Jimmy, I need to move this Lord's table, all right? Brother Stanley's going to help me here. We're just going to move it out, all right? We're going to move this out. Hopefully it won't break anything. Oh, and we are. All right. Thus it becometh us not to break the planter, all right? Now, it took two of us to move this so that we did not break that, and we almost did anyway, but to not break that, all righty? Now, if I move this by myself, I'm breaking that thing, all right? Because it's not going to stay straight. It's going to fall over. Something's going to break. So the two of us, we're going to put this back this time. We're going a little slower this time, all right? We're going to put this thing back. Look at that. Look at that. All right? Thank you very much. Give him a hand, all right? Does a good job. Now, church, that's what Jesus was saying. Jesus was telling John, there are things that the two of us must do together. In this particular situation, it was baptizing. You say, Pastor, what was the big deal about John needing to work with Christ in this area of baptism? Well, church, let me think for just a moment here. He said, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. What was right about the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ? He needed John to baptize him because the scripture already said that would happen. Jesus needed John to baptize him because Jesus had not died on the cross yet and had not given the Holy Spirit. So he needed him to baptize him as an example of the baptism for John, for the people that were around that were confessing their sins in belief that the Messiah would come. All I'm trying to say is this, that Jesus couldn't do it by himself. Jesus needed John the Baptist to fulfill all righteousness by baptizing the Lord Jesus Christ. When you try to tell somebody, okay, you're saved, you need to get baptized. And they look at you and say, well, how come I need to get baptized? I'm already saved. My name's written in heaven. I don't have to worry about it. What do we tell people about baptism? We tell them, number one, the reason you get baptized after you get saved is because the Bible says you should. The second reason we tell them is you should get baptized is because it identifies you with the Lord Jesus Christ. He got baptized, you get baptized. Do you understand that Jesus, it was important for Jesus to get baptized as the example to us as Christians that that's our identification with Christ. The third reason we tell people to get baptized, it's a picture of the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. Why do we go under the water and come back out? It's a picture of Christ dying, being buried, and rising again on the third day. Does baptism take you to heaven, yes or no? Can baptism save you, yes or no? Should you get baptized? Yes. And I'll tell you why. Jesus got baptized. And Jesus tells John, church, I mean, Jesus was salvation himself. He did not need baptized. Why did Jesus get baptized? As an example to us, a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when he looks at John, he says, John, I can't do this by myself. Now, I'm not reading a description this morning. If I said nothing except for what Jesus said, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. As church family, I'm going to take you just a couple passages this morning, but there are things you can't do by yourself. Amen. It's us. If you're saved this morning, there's some things that you need Christ for. You say, Pastor, I know I need to be saved, and I know the only way I'm going to get saved is through Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about that kind of us, because truthfully, it's not us when it comes to salvation. It's only him. You don't get saved because you do your part. Christ did it all when he died on the cross. But after you get saved, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Now, I want to just point out quickly, I know, again, I'm going to do my best to hustle this morning, and I'm taking a long time to get to this point, but let me just share a couple things with you. Turn to your Bible, I think it's 1 Corinthians. I won't turn to all of the passages. One, I do want to look at a couple of them with you. I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, if I remember correctly. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. All right, got your Bible there. 1 Corinthians 3. There are some things that we need Christ for. I want you to look at verse number 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own what? All right. So God says there's labor involved when it comes to a Christian. And he says you're going to get rewarded based upon your labor. Now look at verse number 9. For we are laborers together with who? Huh? You find that interesting? He didn't say you are laborers together for God. He said you're laborers together what? With God. Hey, church, I mean, do you understand that when we serve the Lord Jesus Christ in any capacity, I teach a Sunday school class, or I work on a bus route, or I go to the prison and I work. I help clean at the church, or I help teach a school class, or I whatever it might be. And I can't name all the areas of service that there are for the Christian. But can I remind you this morning, you're not doing that by yourself. You're not doing that for yourself. You're not doing that with yourself. You're doing that with God, because he says very clearly in that verse, for we are laborers together with God. All of our work is based upon me doing it with the Lord. Do you remember what Matthew chapter 11 said when Jesus was talking to them? He says, hey, listen, all you that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me. But you know what I mean? If you look at the rest of the verses there, he makes it very clearly there. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Church, I mean, what's a yoke? It's one of those things that went over both animals to be able to pull, to be able to plow or to move a cart or whatever it might be. And both animals shared the work, the labor. You know, I think sometimes Christians get this idea of pride as if it's us that's doing it. It's not us that's doing it. It's us with Christ doing it. Labor. Listen to this, 2 Corinthians 6, verse number 1. We then as workers together with him. Think about that. We then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Everything that we do for the Lord is not just us. Listen to me. This is where I know I'm going to hustle. I'm going to move right on. I know it's been a long week. Some of you are a little bit tired this morning. Do you understand that everything we do, if we're not careful, we start to do it in the flesh and we do not do it in the spirit, and we fail to understand that we don't have to do this on our own. Raising children, believe it or not, is not just a physical thing, it's a spiritual thing. Because we're trying to, as the Bible says, to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's a spiritual work when it comes to raising our children. You don't have to do it alone. You can do it with God. Everything you're doing for the service of God is with the service of God. In other words, God says, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, God says, I want to work with you, just let me. Everything we do is with him. Second thing I want you to notice, not only that, I want you to see that in our labor, we work with Christ. But I want you also to think about our witness. You know the verse, but you remember the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But when you get down to verse number 20, it says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Do you understand that our witnessing is not just us? In fact, you've got your Bible still open to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Did you notice in chapter 3? Look at verse number 5. Who then, 1 Corinthians 3, 5, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe? Even as the Lord gave to every man, I have planted, Paul, I have planted, Apollos watered, but who gave the increase? God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. When somebody gets saved, they don't get saved because you gave the plan of salvation so clearly. They get saved because the Holy Spirit of God drew them through the Word of God. Through the testimony that God used through you, but it's the God that drew them to himself. Hey, all I'm trying to say is the reason we don't want to do this. Hello, my name is Scott Higgins. This is John. We're from the Heritage Baptist Church. More important than going to church, knowing for sure you're going to heaven. You know for sure if you die today, go to heaven. The reason we don't want to go tell somebody about Jesus Christ is because we put all the load upon us. It becometh us. The word becometh, it's proper, it's fit, it's right. It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Church family, is it right to tell people about Jesus Christ? Amen. Then stop doing it alone. Amen. It becometh us. Father, we're going to go out. I'm not praying, I'm just teaching. Father, I'm going to go out and we're going to try to tell somebody about you. Would you please lead us to that person you want us to witness today? Heavenly Father, when we knock on a door or when we're ministering in the jail or when we're at the nursing home and we're telling, God, would you please give us boldness to be able to tell what we need to tell as far as telling people about us. Everything about the Christian life, if we're not careful, we start to make it about us. And that's where, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. A Christian gets weary in what they're doing because it's all on them. It's not on you. Just, I mean, there is no way for me to lift this up by myself and for sure lift it up without breaking that. But you put two people on this and we can move it all the way around the auditorium if we have to. You know why? It's a lot easier with two. And the Lord looks at our life and he says, hey, listen, I didn't save you to serve so that you could be miserable. I saved you to serve so that we could serve together. He says, I didn't save you so that you could tell somebody about Jesus Christ and be ashamed or be weak-hearted or wonder what they think without me being there to give you the boldness and the utterance to be able to tell them. It's us. It's us when it comes to our labor. It's us when it comes to our witness. You know, don't you find it interesting that when Jesus was talking in John chapter 15, and I think verse 5. Remember in John chapter 15, verse number 5? I'll read the verse to you here. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Now follow me, you finish it. For without me, you can do nothing. For without me, without God, without him, being a part of your life, and I say part, as far as our witness and as far as our labor, I need him. I can't do this on my own. We see that it becometh us when it's our labor. It becometh us when it becometh our witness. Church, you're going to like this one. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. I think it's one page back if you're still in 1 Corinthians. Look what Paul said in verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of what? Speech, verse number 1, excellency of speech, or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Church, I mean, what's the testimony of God? I'm sorry, that was not a trick question. Let's try it this way. What are you holding in your hand right now? What is that? It's the Bible, all right? So what is the testimony of God? That book you hold in your hand, all it does is testify of him. The whole book testifies of God. So what is Paul saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 1. He said, hey, listen, I didn't come to you with excellence of speech when I gave you the testimony of God. I didn't stand before you with the very words of God and try to put my spin on it. Amen. Look what he says next here. Verse number 2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with what? Enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of what? The Spirit and the power. Why? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Jimmy, you know what Apostle Paul was trying to say? He said, listen, when I came to you and I was preaching to you, my preaching was not coming from me. That preaching was coming from the Spirit of God. Hey, can I tell you, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness when it comes to our service and our labor for God. It becometh us when it comes to our witness, that we need the Lord Jesus Christ to give us the words to say, to proclaim the gospel to a lost and dying world. But can I just tell you, it doesn't matter if you're teaching in a Sunday school class and opening up the testimony of God. It doesn't matter if you're in a prison or if you're in a nursing home and you open up the testimony of God. It doesn't matter if you're behind this pulpit and you open up the testimony of God. It's about us. You girls in here that teach Sunday school class, there's several of you. And you stand before your class, and whether it's a 2- and 3-year-old or 4- and 5-year-old or 1st and 2nd grade or 3rd and 4th grade, and you open up the testimony of God, that's not you, it's us. Preaching is, by the way, the word preaching just means to herald. That's why when we come to church and people get upset, you know, I think the pastor was a little loud today. That's what preaching is, by the way. To herald. Listen, I'm not talking about the dynamics of preaching this morning, you know? I'm not talking about that. Just mean, do you understand that the only reason you get something from the Word of God is not because of the person that's speaking, because there's a Holy Spirit that dwells inside of you that turns the light on? You know, I like to hear Brother so-and-so, or, you know, I wish Pastor would have some more men come in. We had revival this week. Boy, Brother Brown and Brother Gomez was a real blessing. And I've had several people say, why don't you have them come back? And by the way, it doesn't offend me whatsoever, okay? Because you know why? Because it doesn't matter if it's Brother Brown or Brother Gomez or myself or one of the church family that's getting up here to open up the testimony of the Lord. The only way it happens is because of us, where the Word of God is spoken, and then the Holy Spirit of God, the other side of the us, who's inside of us, opens up that still small voice and says, I'm talking to you. You need to change this. You need to do this. You haven't passed the gospel tract out in months. That's not the preacher telling you that. That's the Holy Spirit of God, the us, where God speaks to us. I want to tell you something. We're wasting our time if we come to church and God doesn't speak to us. Preaching is about us. It's about what God does in our life. I was reading about Moses, and I know you know the story. You know, don't you find it interesting that Moses grew up in Pharaoh's house and that he had all the language that was necessary? I mean, he was taught how to speak, et cetera, as a prince in Pharaoh's house. But you remember what he told God? In Exodus chapter 4, you know, turn to verse 10, says this, "And Moses said unto the Lord, Oh my God, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say." Church, I mean, how did 600,000 men, plus women and children, how did 600,000 Israelites come out of Egypt? Because there was a man that figured out, I'm not doing this by myself. Do you think Moses can throw a rod down and become a serpent? Do you think Moses can pour out water and it turned to blood? It was the us. Amen. By the way, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to move this so I don't break it, because I'll end up breaking this. This is a lot of church services. This is church, okay? This is the church service. I'm the preacher. Stanley, come up for a second here. Here's the Christian. He's got the Holy Spirit of God inside of him, just like the pastor has the Holy Spirit of God inside of him. And we're having a church service, and the pastor's preaching, and he picks up his side, and he's sitting there paying attention. He's asking God, feed me and teach me and help me. Can I just tell you, it makes the service go a whole lot better. Well, I don't know what was wrong with the church service today. Man, it just seems so dead. Could it be? Us didn't show up. Thank you very much. Church, I mean, do you understand that when it comes to preaching, preaching is twofold. It doesn't just come out, it comes in. You have to decide that if I'm going to take what God's teaching me about, you're the one who has to decide that whether you brought your Bible this morning, you're the one who has to decide that when the pastor says, look at that word, look at this phrase, that you're attentive and asking, okay, God, what are you trying to tell me? It's not, I'd like to awe you. Preaching is about what God wants to do in the hearts of people, not just through the man of God that's speaking, but through the Spirit of God that dwells inside of all of us. It becometh us when it comes to our labor. It becometh us when it comes to our witness. It becometh us when it comes to our preaching. Church, I want to share one last thought with you. You say, I know this four, but I want you to share this last thought. In Galatians 5, this is the last one. Follow me now. I'm almost done. Galatians 5, verse 16 says this. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Church, do you know that the Christian life is never alone? All of us have problems. Kyle, you've gone through life. There's been times there's been struggles. You know, a lot of Christians always go to the verse, yea, though I walk through the valley of what? I will fear no evil. Say the next phrase. You know what helps you get through it? Us. That's it. Oh, man, I'm struggling. I just don't know how I'm going to make this. And by the way, you know, discouragement's real. But some people's discouragement, not all, but some people's discouragement is self-inflicted. You know why? Because they forgot about us. You're trying to figure it out. You're trying to do your own thing. You're trying to find the answers. We serve a God that already has all the answers. He knows exactly what we need in our life. So why don't I claim casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you? 1 Peter 5:7. Why don't I claim Psalm 55:22? Cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. I will tell you why. For some reason, we get a joy out of this. I'm not sure how to do this. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I. But what? Us. Us. Thank you, Brother Stanley. John, don't tell me no. I want you to baptize me. Because it becometh, it's fit, it's proper, it's right. It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Church, I want to tell you something. You've got to stop doing this singular thing. You need him more than ever before in your life. Some of you are about to pull your hair out because you're aggravated with life. And the problem is you're trying to do it on your own. You know, if you thought about your problem as much as you prayed for it, it would be gone. I want all of us this morning to think about, are you doing this with us? Or are you doing it with you? Are you trying to labor on your own? Trying to witness on your own? Are you trying to do it on yourself? Or does God, is God, you realize he's there for you. When it comes to preaching, you figure out, okay, God, you want to speak to me? When it comes to this idea of life itself, I don't want to go through life by myself. It's aggravating. He's there for you. Just realize it's us. So you know what John did? I know it's not said there in the scripture, but by the action we know what happened. Jesus, if this is what you want, I'll do it. I'd rather you baptize me, but if you want me to baptize you and that's what you want, I'm going to do it. You ought to let God do what he wants to do in your life. And realize it's about us. Would you bow your head and close your eyes this morning?